we present the News Quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Hello and welcome again to the News Quiz, and we start with a clipping from Teletext read by Peter Donaldson.
A6 Cumbria Botchergate closed southbound due to a fire. Singe diversions.
Thanks to PR Verity from Addlestone for sending that in. Now let's meet the teams. And will you welcome first on my right, Andy Hamilton, but filling in for Francis Ween, a member of our audience, Simon Storer. Facing them on my left, a slightly more amateur team, Linda Smith and Alan Corran. Simon, who turned their backs on a sorry leader?
This is wonderful story of the Japanese over invading us again, and all the old soldiers who fought gallantly in the last war have decided that the better view is to look away from the road as the emperor passes. I think actually it's because of the queen sitting in the car as well, and they're embarrassed that she's spending time with him. So they're all looking in the other direction.
I thought that what was slightly amusing about it was that there's Tony Blair constantly harping on about the word new. And, you know, this is new Britain, you know, millennial Britain on the verge of a new age. And you sat there and you watched a queen and an emperor in an open-drawn carriage going to give the emperor the Order of the Garter for chivalry. Which one is chivalry? Is slaying dragons and holding doors open, isn't it? I mean, what has he done that is so chivalrous?
My heart went out to him because there's been really a lot of bad timing this week. Because on Wednesday, Which published their report of dangerous small cars. And the first five worst cars that you smashed into a wall and died in were Japanese. And I thought, I'm old enough to remember the days when they flew planes like that.
Well, Francis, no, when he comes here, just going to be terribly hurt, isn't it? We've started. Yeah.
Good. Serves him bloody right. Okay.
When Francis comes here, what would be very funny is if whatever he says, no matter how funny he is, just don't just sit there. Sit on your hands, and then that lady forth right at the back, just say, can we have Simon back?
Veterans explained they first became concerned about the Emperor's visit after it was described by one Japanese official as an attempt to build bridges. So, 2 points to Simon then. Andy, who's going to be... Come in.
Bless him. Francis, this is Simon. He was very funny.
And he scored 2 points for your team as well, which is more than you would have done.
You're right.
Thank you, a very big hand to Simon.
Why were you late then?
Go on.
What? I just, late this afternoon, I sat down for a few moments and I must have dozed off.
And the phone rang.
Well, the phone rang.
And someone said there are 400 people.
Yeah.
And you just think, oh, that's a terrible dream, and put the phone on. Break that.
Andy, who's going to be left out in the cold from now on at Millbank?
He's going to be left out in the cold now on at Millbank. Millbank, is this a Labour HQ story?
It is.
You have to give
it's to do with not the Labour National Executive had a meeting attended by Blair. He tore himself away from the Japanese Emperor. Easily done, I find. And voted that in future the Labour Party National Executive, the Labour Party whips, in fact, will send reports to all constituency parties about their MPs, saying which pubs they've been seen in.
I'm so glad you're here.
Have we had the Japanese Emperor yet?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, my God. It says on this pad. Yes. Somebody's written, oh, God, please help.
Senior Labour figures insisted there would still be a place for those from the left of the party at the conference. The place would be across the road, behind the barricades, selling Marxism Today outside the chippy. The Prime Minister denied that his plan would mean a lot of yes men being elected to Parliament. He hoped to have a lot of yes women as well. So Linda, whose open and shut case was badly in need of a check-up.
A check-up?
A check-up.
It's another political story.
I think this is about the list... The list of hospital potential closures. Am I right, Simon? Is this?
It is. Yes.
Yeah. It's some Tory health spokesman. His name escapes me, as it probably does everyone.
John Maples.
John Maples was his name. Has come up with this list of hospitals that he's accusing Frank Dobson of trying to close. And look, there's all these 100 hospitals here, and you're going to close them. And in fact, Frank said, "Well, actually, no. One of them you already closed, so we'd have our work cut out with that one." And one of them actually isn't an NHS hospital. It's a sort of charity run by nuns. And another one of them is a branch of Mr. Byright. And on and on and on like this. And it's just a sort of a nonsense thing, really. And Frank Dobson says they're not actually closing loads of hospitals. They're going to just sort of try and save a bit of money here and there, which I think could be done in the National Health. I must admit, having had a little stay in hospital, the first thing they could do is to stop getting Vivian Westwood to design the gowns. Save a lot of money like that. No, it must be her, because they look terrible from the front and show your bum at the back.
Yes, Shadow Health Secretary John Maples produced a hotly disputed figure claiming Labour was planning to close 101 hospitals. Alan, your music. Alan, whose earnings are set to rocket into the tens?
This is probably about minimum wage. It's about £3.60 an hour that Tony Blair, who earns £105,302, and Cherie, who earns a little over £200,000, and they still take, I noticed, during the week, their child benefit of £1,500, which we'd like to spend on the children. They say, of course you've got to spend it on the children, like four, you fool! has decided that £3.60 should be the minimum wage. This has upset the unions hugely.
A number of people will be exempted, unable to receive the minimum wage, including all 18 to 26-year-olds, so God alone knows how David Beckham will get by. The scores at the end of round one are Andy, Francis and Simon Storer, 4 points, but Linda and Alan in the lead with 6.
Yes.
We start round two with an item from Sharrow Today.
Shiloh United Church, St. Bartholomew's Church Centre, Monday, fasting meeting, 10:30 a.m, meal provided.
Thanks to Sarah and Jonathan Alexander of Sheffield for sending that. Francis, whose economic hopes have been dashed into rouble?
Would this be Russia, by any chance?
Of course it's Russia.
Well, in that case, I imagine it's that nice Mr. Yeltsin. You know, they're running out of money and they're in terrible trouble. Economy falling to bits. President drunk all day long.
I reckon it was one of those. And another thing, I think I'll put it up 150% tomorrow, the interest rate. Because an interest rate of 150%, that is getting close to that sort of stage where you carry your money to the bank in a wheelbarrow and someone nicks the wheelbarrow.
I think if they devalue the ruble again, it won't be worth the potato it's printed with.
Yes, Russia was forced to raise its interest rates to a whacking 150%. The Russian president has said he'll respond to the crisis by an urgent reshuffle of his cabinet. So that'll be mineral water right at the back and the vodka at the front. Andy, who's sick about a parrot?
This is Dr. No, the Reverend Ian Paisley, who, do you think he could never have voted yes in the referendum? Has he ever said yes to anything? You know, being offered cornflakes. I'm outraged. I'm glad Jeremy isn't here, because that was not a very good impression of Ian Paisley. More like Julian Clary. Yes, he's very offended. He says that the Queen is just sort of trotting out the government line on the future of the Irish assemblies and stuff, and he accused her of being a parrot.
Better than being Paisley. crossbeam, a little warthog and a mutant gerbil.
Do you think crazy?
Whose cage would you rather clean out at the end of the day?
That's a remarkable thing, though, with Ian Paisley. He says something like, the Queen is a parrot, and it's not the most bonkers thing he's ever said. You know, you hear that and you think, oh, he's having quite a good day, really.
Paisley alienated many Protestants when he claimed that the Queen should not give in to Rome, but should be loyal to her home country. Just where Germany fits into the Irish question, we haven't worked out. 2 points there. Linda, here's your music. Linda, who was planning the mother of all court cases?
Oh, well, it's got to be Saddam Hussein, isn't it? He's suing the British government over these shells, these tank shells, which he said have put radioactive matter all over the shop there and made people ill. And we're saying, well, no, it's not that sort of radioactivity. It's plutonium light. That'll do you no harm at all. You can eat tons of those. You won't put on a pound. Actually, I'm quite annoyed, really, that he's back in the news, because his picture flashes up on the news, and I think, oh, Walter Matthau. Fantastic. The Odd Couple's on later, and it never is.
I'm going to try and scent Saddam Hussein now, because I'm going to say, do we go out in Iraq?
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm going to say, Saddam Hussein wears a truss. But have you noticed, if you look at all the footage of him, when he moves, he doesn't move... He moves his shoulders, but he doesn't move his stomach. He's always got that belt, and I think they're definitely a man who wears a truss. If we could build an intelligent missile that could hover over Baghdad and just shout, truss wearer! That would probably undermine his credibility.
He'd lose the trust of the people.
He would. He would.
I once wrote an advert for a truss company. My slogan was, I stand corrected. That's what I gave out advertising. I was about 21 at the time.
We'll
Sorry I didn't contribute to that. I was just thinking of the Queen running up a ladder and banging a bell with her beak. I can't get it out of my head somewhere.
You think they cover her up when the vicar comes around?
Alan, who's going to have a right royal time at the World Cup?
Who is this? It's a little lad. His dad's taking him to the football. Charles.
Yes.
The ball.
They're going on the train.
Ball one's taking the hairy one. Harry or Willie or whoever's going to be the next king to watch England. They'll have to move fast, won't they?
Which one is going? Is it Wills or Harry is going?
I don't know. They're the same.
Because it's going to be embarrassing, because he's going to sit next to a dad who knows nothing about football, isn't he? And it's going to be embarrassing.
Prince Charles.
Yeah, Charles doesn't know anything about football. The cup final, I've seen him shaking hands with Alan Shearer saying, what do you do?
did Shearer kick him in the head?
The young prince will get to see the £5 million pre-match parade, kicked off by a hugely inflated football figure making its way unsteadily through the streets of Paris, before taking in a doner kebab with Chris Evans. And the scores at the end of round two are Francis and Andy, and Simon, 8. Linda and Alan still just in the lead with 10 points. We start round three with an item spotted by E. Harris of Bury in the Sunday Times.
A new NHS crisis threatens the government as thousands of patients have operations delayed or cancelled. Dr. David Niblett, director of the intensive care unit at Bedford Hospital, said, "We have another government obsessed with waiting lists when they should be concentrating on things that will kill people."
Thanks for that. Andy, your question. Here's your piece of music too. Was a dinner music for a pack of hungry cannibals. Andy, which family meal left a nasty taste in the mouth?
Just going to confer here, son. what, there's a Channel 4 cookery programme about cannibalism. What?
There's a chap I know called Hugh Fernley Whittingstall who presents...
Well, don't go to dinner with him, for goodness sake.
On the telly. And in one episode, he had a woman who'd just given birth to a baby and wanted to cook her placenta.
Oh, that's an old story, that one.
No, they've just been censured by the Broadcasting
Standards Council,
or whatever it's called.
Yeah, they don't like you eating placentas.
Who said that this was tantamount to cannibalism. I mean, it's a placenta. I mean, both my babies were delivered at the hands, so I had to get rid of the placenta. I didn't actually choose to turn it into a stew, but...
What did you do with the placenta? You didn't turn it into a lava lamp, did you?
No, I didn't even freeze it. Went straight in the bin, I'm sorry to say.
Just in the bin?
All right, I fed it to the pig, if you want to know the truth.
Is anyone feeling ill, or is it just me?
I can't say it appeals to me, really, this placenta-eating business. Could spawn a whole new cooking series. Can't eat myself, won't eat myself.
One serious question does arise from the show. Is it cannibalism to eat anything that's discharged from the human body? Gillian Tailforth is on the moral maze to discuss that. Linda, who flew back to Blighty on a broken wing and a prayer?
Rupert Murdoch. It's conkled. It's knackered. There's all bits falling off of it. It's sort of set off. Big chunk fell off it. And they turned round and went back to New York. But, you know, Concord was saying, no, that just shows how well-maintained it is. No, they're marvellous, Concord. I'm a fool to sell it to you. Marvellous little aeroplane. No, I should have kept it for the missus.
Notice that the spokesman said, in an attempt to commend himself to the aeronautically illiterate, he said the piece that fell off was the size of a coffee table. Strange way to describe something that comes off a plane. How do you know what size my coffee tables are? Old magazines and stains standing on it, vase of flowers and the cat.
Didn't the same spokesman say it wasn't an important part of the wing?
Yes, he did. Why is it there?
Why do I know?
Yes, Rupert Murdoch was on board the Concorde flight to New York, which was forced back to Heathrow and part of the wing fell off. As the plane wobbled dangerously from side to side, passengers were astonished to see Mr. Murdoch adopt a kneeling position. But it turned out there just happened to be a prominent Chinese government official sitting in front of him. Alan, for whom does life end at 50?
Oh, it's that wonderful show, isn't it? It's, she's 52 and very unhappy. So every newspaper produces lots of pictures of really clapped out women. That I would give my eye teeth for, I have to say. Who said no?
If indeed you had your eye teeth.
Yes. I would gum them to death. She's got to 52 and she says it makes her very unhappy and she would like to be young and beautiful, as indeed all her silicone is. Or is it silicone? I've never known that.
Silicone is what holds you up on the motorway, I think, and silicone is silicone.
She's a fool to herself, really, living in Hollywood. If she wants to feel young, she should move to Eastbourne. She'd be a juvenile delinquent. They'd have to open a youth club just for her.
She's not the same woman as Tina Turner. I always get them mixed up.
No, they're
in
totally
my fantasies,
different.
I have to say.
They're totally different, women, actually, yes.
They're both big and noisy, aren't
Yeah,
they?
I tell you what, shall I answer the questions and you finish your jigsaw?
Will you wheel me out into the sun afterwards? I could have my pill in the sun down there by the fish pond.
Pensioner groups say her comments about being over 50 are outrageous, since at least two-thirds of her isn't even 25 yet. At the end of round three, Francis and Andy have 12 points, but Linda and Alan still in the lead with 14. Francis, your piece of music.
Picture me upon your knee, with tea for two and two for tea. Just me for you and you for me alone.
Had a nice night in with a cup of tea and a Danish.
Tea stories. Is this to do with Bridget Nielsen?
Yes.
Yeah. Was that in Yorkshire? I think it was.
Yes.
Everything horrible happens in Yorkshire. The owl attacking the bald man, poor William Hague.
He wasn't bald.
That was in Yorkshire. The parking meter attendant who gave a chap a ticket for having his...
Oh, he's answering everything, is he?
Everything foul.
Come in late,
in Yorkshire
he's
now.
Doing the encyclopedia round.
Bridget... Bridget Nielsen, the... former wife of Sylvester Stallone, who's one of those actresses, straight models, who are pumped up a bit like a Christmas turkey with strange implants and things. Giblets, I expect. She's filming in those parts, and she noticed a chap walking home. She offered him a lift, or he offered her a lift, and was taken home for tea. He went and woke up his brother and said, "You'll never guess who's downstairs having tea. Quick, get up."
Hitching a lift home from the pub, stonemason Neville Thompson was picked up by Hollywood star Brigitta Nielsen.
She's Bridget, isn't she?
No, she's Danish. That's how you say it in Danish.
Oh, they have to be different, don't they?
He invited her into his home and made her a piping hot cup of tea, taking care not to hold it too close to her body in case it melted the silicon. Andy, whose drive for efficiency was quickly overturned?
Oh, this rings a bell.
Is this the parking meter?
In Yorkshire.
The parking attendant in Yorkshire. It's another Yorkshire horror tale. A chap parked his car, bought a ticket from the pay and display park and ride machine, whatever they call them, and stuck it upside down on his windscreen. And when he got back, he'd been given a ticket. And it said, reason for offence, ticket upside down. They're tough in Yorkshire. By Jeff Boycott, when you see him with his car keys prodding the pitch, little does he realise that his car is even then being clamped.
His name is Mr. Walls, and he got off. I was on the side of the parking people.
You're right, yeah.
Yes, I think they're very good people.
You better nip out, Alan. You have to feed yours, mate.
Steve, the parking officer who issued the ticket, said he only realised how unpopular he was locally when, during a recent visit, the Emperor Akihito turned his back on him. Linda, which French entrepreneur should have little difficulty in whipping up interest in his new B&B?
Oh, yes, this is the ex-castle of the Marquis de Sade. The new owners of this castle, where the Marquis de Sade was brought up and developed his ideas, it's going to be a bed and breakfast. Marvellous idea. I love the idea. It's going to attract all these sort of devotees of the Marquis de Sade to stay in this bed and breakfast. I'd love to see the comments in the visitor's book. Like, bed's hard, room drafty, water cold, food dreadful. We'll be back. It's a, you know, extraordinary thing. But I have stayed in bed and breakfasts that do feel as if they were run by the Marquis de Sade. Well, in Scarborough in particular, mauve nylon sheets. Static that builds up after a night in nylon. You get up in the morning, you look like Nigel from EastEnders.
Terrible thing the Marquis de Sade was brought up there. I mean, you really wouldn't want to look in the toy cupboard for Eeyore shackled to poo while Tigger knocked seven bells out of him with a cat of nine tails. It must be horrible. We used to go to a B&B in Brighton where the teaspoon was chained to the table. I suppose down there, I'll have it chained to the landlady. It's odd, isn't it? Do they still chain teaspoons? You wouldn't go to places
only
like
if
that.
They're very naughty.
You have to bring your own bottle of ketchup down. It's good for you, ketchup. Did you see that piece yesterday? It's better than real tomatoes. It's got this stuff in it, lyocyamine.
Yes, I believe that research was financed
done by Heinz, yes.
Britons visiting the castle would be subjected to unimaginable tortures and cramped surroundings while undergoing lengthy interrogations from uniformed sadists. And that's just French immigration. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Francis.
I've been reading the new issue of Vanity Fair magazine, and they have a section in there listing forthcoming books. And one of them is by Gail Sheehy, who wrote a bestseller a few years ago about the menopause. It was called Passages, a very famous book, apparently, in America. And she's now done a sequel. It says, Gail Sheehy tackles manly taboos such as wife envy and slackening sex drive in her long-awaited new book, Understanding Men's Passages.
Andy.
Well, I've been sent this by Maura Mason of Exeter, and it's from Gorsedow. Newsletter of the Gorsed of Bards. So I believe it's a journal for druids. And the column is entitled Midsummer at Avebury. On Sunday, June 21st, we will be gathering the Gorsed of Bards of Caer Aberi to celebrate Midsummer among the ancient stones of Avebury in Wiltshire. We will meet at the Stones restaurant at 12 noon. The sun will reach the high point of the solstice at 2:03 p.m. during our ceremony. At this time, the Lord of the Sun rides in triumph across the heavens, and the creatures of darkness, winter, chaos, and death flee to their holes to shelter from his blinding light. Brackets. For the past 2 years, it's been freezing cold and or raining, so be prepared.
Linda.
Thanks for this piece to Rosemary Dutchett or Duché, whichever she prefers. It's from the Wiltshire Times. Sticky end to new cat flap system. A grim warning to cat owners from a friend of a colleague. The friend bought a magnetic cat flap for their new kitten, an arrangement which required the animal to have a magnet attached to its collar to activate the cat flap. The system was abandoned when the tiny animal was found stuck to the fridge.
I said Alan, sorry.
Oh.
I didn't say it very loud. Oh.
Alan, that's Simon. He asked questions. You remember him, he doesn't remember you.
Would you just adjust the tartan rug over my loins, will you? I have a sort of natural segue from Linda's sticky end. And it's just a headline. It's only a headline that presents a picture. It's not a misprint or anything. And it's in Thursday's Daily Telegraph. It's a headline that says, Clinton worry as Monica Lewinsky agrees to fingerprinting. I would have washed off by now. If you don't like that, and I don't know, you might. It's in the West Lothian Courier. His barrister told the court, at one time this young man was using half a pint of glue every day. He has now broken the habit. His girlfriend, whom he intends to marry, has stuck by him.
Thank you all. Let's look at the final scores. Francis, Andy, and our special guest star, Simon Storer, have scored 17 points, but Alan and Linda have just held on to the lead and are winners this week with 18 points. Till the end of August, when we're back, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz this week were Andy Hamilton, Linda Smith, Alan Corran, Simon Storer and Francis Weed. The chairman was Simon Hoggart and the news is read by me, Peter Donaldson. The chairman's script was written by Dave Cohen and Tom Jameson with George Poles. The producer was John Rolfe.